We're taking a look at Jeremiah chapter 6 in honor somewhat of our graduates. But this is a timely word for all of us as we look at what it means to come to a crossroad. You know what a crossroad is, especially out in the country. You're traveling along and you're going just as like you please, and suddenly you come to an intersection, and instead of just one direction to go, there are multiple choices. There are three or four directions that you could travel. And a crossroads is exactly that. It's a time when we are faced with a choice. It's a decision point that we come to. It's a time when things cannot remain as they were. You can't just keep going down the road that you were going on. You have to evaluate, you have to look, you have to see, which direction am I going to be going next? Where's God leading me now? What is life doing? We have a choice to make when we come at a crossroad. Sometimes this choice of being at a crossroad happens because of our time of life. It's time to get married. You're at a crossroad. It's time to graduate, and you're at a crossroad. You come to a point where the road forks, and what's going to happen next? You don't know. Sometimes it's because of circumstances. A crossroad is forced upon you. You lose a job or you lose a loved one, and the road you were traveling on, and you had looked far ahead down that road, and you knew all the plans and where all the stops were going to be. You had it mapped out. Then all of a sudden, you find yourself at a blinking red light. Which way do I go now? A crossroads can be forced upon you. Crossroads can come because of the world around us. We're living in strange times right now. You look around and all of a sudden, a few weeks ago, you thought you knew the landscape, and then all of a sudden a pandemic hits, the likes of which you really never envisioned, and then we find that there's unrest and upheaval in our cities, and we find that we look to our government leaders, and they're behaving not as we expected, and all of a sudden, because of world events, here we are, we were fine, we were happy, our 401ks were soaring, and boom, we're at a crossroad. What do we do now? What's God doing? What's my choice? Where do I go? The people of God, Israel, found themselves at a crossroad. This wasn't a good crossroad because the Lord had time and time again tried to call them back out of wickedness. His people had rebelled. They had rejected him. They had behaved wickedly, in some cases more wickedly than the wicked nations around them. And God had loved them through it. And he had set prophets around to call them back to himself. He had issued warnings. He had brought about discomfort in the form of judgment to remind them of the peace of the one true God that they could go to as a father, and they continued to say no to him. And so the prophet Jeremiah here is at a point where God is pronouncing a final warning of judgment. He says, "You're at a crossroads, Israel, my people. What are you going to do?" And so let's look together here at Jeremiah chapter 6. Verses 16 through 21, and I think it would be great when you go home, maybe this week, if you'll take this chapter of Jeremiah and read before and read after this. There's so much that the Bible says to us here. But for now, we're going to focus on verse 6, chapter 6, verses 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, L-O-R-D, all capital letters. This is Yahweh God. This is the eternal name of God's unapproachable, unquestioned power. Thus says Yahweh, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. God says, I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of what? Of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. What use to me is frankincense that comes from Sheba, or sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay before this people stumbling blocks against which they will stumble, fathers and sons together, neighbors and friends shall perish. This is a weighty text. It's not to be missed here that God will withhold nothing to draw his people back to himself. And he has done so gently, and he has done so lovingly, and he has done so warmly, and he's provided these warnings, and they said, no, no, no. And God is at a point and says, okay, fine then. You walk the road you choose, but I will not be content to see those whom I treasure walk away from me. So what should we do when we find ourselves at a crossroad? What actions should we take when we find ourselves in one of these settings? You may be in a setting like this today. We don't know what's happening, where you're going, and what God is doing. He gives us a little map here that applies, I think, to the Israelites, but it applies to you and me too. And the first thing we should do is this. I think we see that we should walk the path worth taking. When you come to a crossroads, there are paths that are worth taking, and there are those that are not. And the Bible calls us here to an evaluation where we have to conduct an examination of the paths, a comparison of where they lead, and we have to decide on which path we're going to go. The Lord says here that this examination has three parts. The first is this: it requires stopping. It requires stopping for just a moment. Stop, the Bible says. This paints a picture of a stream that's just flowing and flowing, and maybe a boat or somebody riding down this stream, and the Bible says you're being pushed along, you need to stop for a minute. We have such a tendency, don't we, to be drawn into complacency, into living life with just muscle memory. We do the same things every day. I have a bowl on my countertop. Every day I come in from work, and the keys go in the bowl. Wallet, watch, pen, in that order. Every single day. We live life like that sometimes. It's not us deciding our course. It's not God. It's that we're being just carried along by routine, by indifference, by just the flow and the current of life. We're in that channel, and that's the channel that we go down. God says, no, no, no. You need to stop for just a minute. You need to stop and look. We were traveling recently, and I remember that we were driving down the road and trying to make it home, and we were in a national park, and all of a sudden we saw a sign that said, do not stop in the road. And we saw ahead that everybody was stopped in the road. We thought, well, what's going on? What is it? We couldn't see. We got up there, and in the median, there were these gigantic elk. I mean, just a bunch of them, right? Not far off in the field, but just right there in the median. So guess what we did? We stopped in the road. Yeah, we stopped right there in the road. We wanted to look at every detail. I mean, we wanted to see their fur and their faces. I wanted to see the fuzz on their antlers. You know that fuzz? I wanted to just take it all in for a moment. But it would have been impossible for us to do that. It would have been impossible for us to do that if we were heading 90 miles an hour trying to make it back home. Just going where the channel took us. Sometimes you've got to stop to look at the crossroads. Be very careful. Be very careful that you don't let life just push you along while God is laying before you a choice that you need to make. You're at a crossroad. We stop. We look, the Bible says. Look to evaluate the roads. See what they are, where they're going. Look through the lens of godliness. Look through the lens of Scripture, right? Look to see how you can evaluate these and see them the way God sees them, what his desire is for your life. In a few weeks at our picnic, I'm excited because we're going to be going tubing down the North Oconee River right there if you want a tube. I don't know if y'all would choose to tube or not, but I've been there and I've tubed, and it's so neat. You love tubing because all you have to do is just sit in the tube, right? Now, for me, getting in the tube is one thing, but once you're in the tube, you just coast on down the river, right? I don't have to paddle the tube. I don't have to worry about what, I just flow down the river gently. The Bible says that be careful of that attitude in life. Be careful just not to just keep going the way you're going when God is placing before you a crossroads. Something needs to change. Something can't stay the same. And many times we just want to keep going, not stop, and refuse to ask. God says, you can ask me. You can ask me. You can rely on God to reveal the right path. And I want to stop for just a moment. And this is so impressive to me that God's very own people were not able to recognize where they were at. They had to ask for the path that God wanted them to take. They had to look at the crossroads. They could stop. They could look. But in the end, they had to turn to God and say, God, which one is the right one? They had drifted so far away from God. They had gone so far from him that guess what? Not even they could recognize where it is that God was leading. Aren't you glad this morning for a God who is so gracious that when we, the Bible says here, by the fruit of our own devices, by the fruit of their own devices, they were far, far from God. They were so blind and so obscured to who he was and his character that when they come to the crossroads, they had no clue which direction to go. Aren't you glad for a God that instead of in that moment heaping only judgment on them, he gives them a chance, said, would you just ask me and I would put you back on the right road? That's our God. This is Hosanna. Our God saves, and he desires to save in this passage. And I hope you know this morning before we leave that you cannot afford to just allow the forces of life to do your navigating for you. I urge you this morning, if you're at a crossroads, college students, graduates, I urge you, as you are at this crossroads, wouldn't you stop for a minute? Wouldn't you look at the choices? Wouldn't you ask if you're going the right direction? Ask for the ancient path. But secondly, we need to walk the path of truth. We need to walk the path of truth. In verse 16, we're reminded again that we are to ask for something specific. We are to ask for the ancient path. The ancient path. What's so good about this ancient path? Why is it ancient? What's God telling us to do? Is he telling us we need to go back to the way things used to be? I went past the church the other day, and on their sign out front with the little letters, it said exactly that. It said the name of the church, and underneath it said church the way it used to be. And there's a lot of us who have an idea of how church used to be. Is God saying, hey, you need to go back to that? The good old days? No, what he's saying here is that he has already revealed to them. He has shown them what they ought to do, the path they ought to follow. See, they were looking for something new. They were asking God for something new in their life. They were in a crisis where the enemy was coming. The shofar, the trumpet had blown. There was a war coming, and they were saying, God, we need something new for the now. We need a new way out, and God is reminding them that they did not need a new revelation from God so much as they just needed the will to respond to the revelation already given. Don't we find ourselves in that situation sometimes? God, I'm about to get engaged. Lord, do something new. Here, show. I need you. It's urgent, God. It's urgent. The horn is blowing, God. I need you. Do something new. God says, don't you remember? Don't you remember what I've already called you to? Have you been walking in that? God, I don't know what's happening here. I need your help. I'm in a mess here, God. Do something. Come, Lord. Where are you, Lord? And God says, hey, where's your Bible at? Do you know? I mean, I want you to look for the ancient path. The rescue for them would be in the return. Their rescue was in their return. We love to watch Shark Week, and we have found that we can watch it on the TV anytime we want to, and sometimes we go to vacation and we watch Shark Week while we're there. That makes it a lot more exciting when you're at the beach. If you get bored at the beach, just start watching Shark Week. It won't be boring anymore. But we watch it, and I was watching it yesterday. My kids are really into it right now, and we turned on an episode of Shark Week, and they had pulled in a huge shark. I don't know what kind it was, but they pulled it into this boat, and they were wrestling with it, trying to untangle it from the line, and the shark came in, and it whipped its tail around. It made a little hook out of its tail and swept the legs out from under a man, and he tumbled in the water with this shark. And so everybody on the boat was reaching out to him and waving to him, saying, yeah, come on, come on back. Right? There's safety in the return. And that's what God was telling them here. Listen, if you want to find this way of what? This way of rest, right? God's not trying to impose some wicked lordship over them. God's not trying to be some dark ruler over their lives. He's trying to lead them back to the place of rest for their souls, to a place where they would be satisfied in knowing him again as a father. If they want to find that, he says, listen, you come back to what you already know to be true. Be careful of asking God for something new all the time when we have laid aside what he has already given us. Our country is in a situation like this right now. We see things happening all around us that are truly troubling. And we see our leaders crying out for some new mechanism, some new undertaking. We hear Christian leaders, sadly. We see those who ought to be our examples in the life of the church, finding their hope and their salvation in social engineering or some type of government undertaking to rescue us from what we have. I want to tell you right now, on the authority of the Word of God, that our hope lies in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you want racial reconciliation? Then you come to the gospel that makes out of many one new man in Christ. This is not a figurative language. When the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave, nor free, nor barbarian, nor Scythian, that all these things are now one, that's not a manner of speaking, my friends. This is the Bible telling the reality, the truth of our spiritual existence. It is so strong as if to say, you come and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a white Christian, I'm a black Christian, I'm a Muslim Christian. I'm a country Christian. I'm a city Christian. I'm a rich Christian. I'm a poor Christian. It is so strong that I think God, through his word, would look at us and would say, no, you're not. You used to be. That's the old you. But now you are one in Christ. I am convinced beyond a doubt that what we are doing right now, what Christians are finding themselves swept along doing right now, is calling out for another gospel and have laid aside the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ancient path, right? The ancient path still holds true. And there is no modern mechanism that can stand in for God's unchanging truth. Do you believe that this morning? But thirdly, we need to walk in the path of integrity. Students, graduates, senior adults, grandparents, we all need to walk in the path of integrity. And integrity in this sense just means that your life holds together. You might hear someone say the earthquake compromised the structural integrity of the bridge. That just means one side of the bridge and the other side of the bridge, they're not so much together anymore. The winds have compromised the structural integrity of the building. It doesn't hold up anymore. It's not together. And we need to practice lives that hold together. Students and graduates, one thing that you need to take with you today is not to live a life where one side of your life doesn't match up to the other, where your words don't match up to your deeds. You see that? Where what you say doesn't match up to what you do, where who you pretend to be and portray yourself to be doesn't match up to who you really are. But that was exactly the mistake that they had made in this text. God says, you need to walk where the good way is. Well, what is this good way? Well, it's the opposite of the bad way. And the bad way is shown to us in verse 19. Look with me, if you will, at verse 19, the later part, and verse 20. God says, as for my law, they have rejected it. What use to me is frankincense that comes from Sheba, or sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing to me. What they were doing is they were living in wickedness, but they were trying to placate God with little trinkets over here. God, look, we're making these sacrifices. God, we're using the best stuff. Hey, it's from this place called Sheba, Lord. This frankincense is from Sheba. God, aren't you happy about that? Oh, we got sweet cane. It's imported, Lord. It's imported from a distant land. Surely, God, you'd be happy with that. God says, you've rejected my law. You have dishonored me. I've called out to you, and you've said, no, we will not walk in it. Do you think I'm going to be happy with the frankincense from Sheba, the sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing to me. They believe they could live wickedly, but placate God with ritual. Their lives did not hold together. Oh God, we love you with this frankincense from Sheba, but your hearts are way over here. Oh God, I do go to church on Sunday morning, most of them, and Lord, but what I'm doing and who I am is way over here. Lord, I give to my church faithfully. Lord, my parents, they were, you know, charter members of our church. You see the Bibles I hand out with the Gideons, Lord. If you've got a life that is portrayed as one thing to God, you're dangling something over here, but your heart is in another place, then you are in this passage this morning. Walk the path of integrity. You ever been to the dentist office when you were a kid? I remember my dentist, Dr. Fogo, on Brainerd Road. His office started like in the 40s, and it still looks like the 40s. And you know what I mean? Everything's green in there, that old medical green that they used to love, and smells the same as it ever did. And I went in there when I was a kid, and they take you back there, and they always are tricking you when you're at the dentist when you're a kid. They say things like, well, hold still for a minute. I'm going to pinch you. I'm going to pinch the inside of your jaw. And what they're really doing is sticking a needle this long into your mouth, right? Getting pinched, and they shake it so you don't feel it. But you know what they do in there, the dentist. They drill you. They do all of these things. And on the way out, you're supposed to all be made better if you walk by the treasure chest. Whose dentist had a treasure chest when you're anybody? Okay, great. You've got, my dentist had a cardboard treasure chest. And on the way out, they would walk you by this cardboard treasure chest and act like that they were just the most generous, nice people you've ever seen. They'd open that up and there'd be little 5-cent toys in there, little rings with like a spider shape on top, or just stuff like that. And that was going to make it all better. As a kid, guess what? It did make it better. I don't know how, but it did. They were able to drag you back there, lie to you, drug you, and abuse you. And by the time it was over, you were just thrilled that you got a 5-cent trinket. This is what the people of God were trying to do to him. God, forget about all this stuff over here. Let us dangle little trinkets in front of you, God. Don't you see that this is what we want you to see, Lord? He says, no way. He says, no way. Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Your sacrifices are not pleasing. In essence, there was no holding together in their lives. There was no integrity. And you can live with integrity out in the world, at your workplace. But for the sake of Christ, would you not live with integrity before God in your heart? Are you going to do it perfectly? No. But this is what he's calling us to do here. It is an awful and life-numbing self-deception to withhold your heart from God and instead offer him your trinkets. Oh, here, Lord, I'll open up my treasure chest for you. God says, no, not if you've closed your heart. Don't do it. Walk the path of integrity. And lastly, what do we do at a crossroads? We walk the path of peace. Walk the path of peace. God is leading his people. His desire is that they would find rest for their souls. But what did they say? We will not walk in it. I set a watchman over you saying, pay attention. These watchmen were the prophets. And like I told you, they were blowing this shofar horn, the trumpet. And the trumpet would have announced the coming of an enemy. An enemy was approaching the gate, laying up siege ramps against the wall in order to enter the city. And this trumpet would have been blown. It's a trumpet of bloodshed. It's a trumpet that announces now judgment is owed. God is going to bring judgment on his people. We look in this passage, and if we're not careful, we make the mistake of picturing ourselves in here as those who would have done better. We see the wrong that was done here, and we say, well, I would have walked in it, the right path, the good way. I would have stopped. I would have looked. I would have asked. You know, this is not me. But that's a mistake we make in this text. We make it all the time. I love Walker, Texas Ranger. I love Chuck Norris, right? I love watching. I know it's hokey, but I love that, Heat of the Night, and all these old shows. And when I watch Chief Gillespie on Heat of the Night, or when I watch Chuck Norris on Walker, Texas Ranger, guess where I see myself? I'm driving the pickup truck, y'all. I got the Ranger hat on. I am, you're the good guy. You see yourself as the good in that. You never see yourself as the bank robber, right? You never see yourself as the bad. But in this text, we're supposed to see ourselves in the shoes of the people of Israel. Let us see ourselves and remember, as we sang this morning already, remember that God once knew us to be an enemy. The New Testament calls us enemies and hostile toward God. Let us remember that. Let us remember that God would have looked at us and said, listen, exercise care. You're at a crossroads. You need to walk the right path. And we would have looked at God and we would have said, we won't walk it. God says, Matthew, I'm warning you. I've blown the trumpet. Pay attention. And I said, we will not pay attention. That was all of us before Christ. And today, if you're outside of Christ, that is you. And the final warning here is that the trumpet of bloodshed is going to be blown in judgment for our sins. Whose sins? Is God an evil God? No, look, the Bible tells us right here, it is the fruit of our own devices. The fruit of their own devices. The trumpet of bloodshed, finally, warning after warning, leading after leading, love after love. Finally, God gets to the point. He says, the trumpet is going to blow. And I want you to know this morning that the trumpet of bloodshed, of God's judgment, indeed has been blown. It has been blown against each person's sin in this place. And I want you to know this morning that the target of that was not you, it was the Lord Jesus. The trumpet of the bloodshed of the judgment of God was blown for our sins. It has sounded and it has landed against the broken and bleeding body of the Savior. And so this morning, yes, we see ourselves in the shoes of those who would not love God. But we also see ourselves in the shoes of those who the very same God has given his life to rescue. And so today, there's one reminder I want you to leave with, and that is that a life of peace in this day comes only through the old story of the cross. Look for the ancient path. See, God has not left us directionless. And you can praise the Lord for that. He has endured with us. He has been patient with us. He has watched us and suffered us for a long time and still breathes out words of love and direction. What are you going to do this morning? Where do you find yourself in all of this? If you're far from God, let me tell you, he wants you back, and he's given his son for you. If you've never entered into relationship with God, that happens only through the cross. There is no new thing that will save. But even today, these many years later, the cross is available to you if you would come and believe in Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us, and as I do in just a moment, we're going to offer you a chance to respond. If you need to respond in any way, this is all clean up here. We have sprayed it every service. We spray this down. You're welcome to come pray by yourself. If you need me, I'll pray with you. If you need to come make a decision today for Christ, or maybe you need to come and say, hey, I need to make this right. I need to step into the waters of baptism this morning. We'll wait for you. We'll be ready for you. We're not going to embarrass you, but we do promise to help you, okay? Lord, thank you this morning for your word and for trusting it to us. Thank you, God, for being a patient and loving God. Thank you, Lord, that you do not stop at anything to make your desire for peace known between us, God. And when there was no peace, God, we admit this morning it was because of our own wicked devices and nothing else, Lord. We were never owed peace with you, God. We stood against you. And in that time when we stood against you, God, you gave your very life to save those who hated you. And Father, we are okay. We ought to be okay to see ourselves as those who were rescued out of rebellion. Father, we praise you for that. I pray we would leave here today worshiping Jesus, for remembering again what you've done for us. And if there is even one person here today who needs to step out from that road that they're on, who needs to stop being carried along by the current of life, who needs to pause in quietness and ask you, God, Lord, show me, please. Please show me again the ancient path, Lord. I'm sorry. I pray they'll make that decision this morning. Lord, hear us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing, and as we do, you're invited to respond.